Father, let not one of us leave here the same way we have come. In the name of Jesus. And let more of you diminish every agenda of the enemy in our lives. We worship you. We honor you. And we adore you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. And be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord bless our gathering this morning in the name of Jesus. I welcome everyone here this morning. Welcome you to this Financial Dominion Month. And I believe that the Lord will grant us victory in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to address a very, very important issue, and it is titled God's Financial Dominion Plan for His People. God's Financial Dominion Plan for His People. Today, we have three objectives in this ministration. Number one is understanding God's possession. Understanding God as possessor of the earth. Possessor, the owner of the earth. Number two, we shall understudy God's financial dominion plan for His people. We'll understudy God's financial dominion plan for His people. And number three, we shall understand God's purpose for financial dominion. Are we trying to have money so we can have it for materialistic purpose, or so we can be like every other person? Why? In fact, why must money be a subject in church? In 3 John and in verse 2, the Bible said, I wish above all things that thou prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And so the first level of things we shall be looking at is God as the possessor of the earth. We're going to look at three scriptures, or four. First, but on a general note, we serve the God of unquantifiable wealth and abundance. Unquantifiable. The scriptures made it clear that our God, the God we serve, is the God of unquantifiable wealth. And there are three things that I will draw our attention to, three scriptures that show that. First of all, we see how God created the earth. God created the earth with a deposit of wealth in it. He created the earth with a deposit of wealth. And we see that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 10 to verse 12. The earth was created with the deposit of wealth. He said, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison. That is it which compassed the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. And there is bdellium and the onyx stone. That was how God created the earth. When Adam had no understanding of what gold was, in fact, literally had no use for gold, they were all loaded in the earth. Secondly, God identifies himself as the owner of the wealth of the earth. In Psalm 50 verse 10, he identifies himself. Psalm 50 verse 10 all the way to verse 12. He says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills." I'll read all the way to verse 12. If I were hungry. Keep going. Verse 11. "I know the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. I own the earth, all the resources and the treasures in all the banks on the earth." All this, everything that is on the earth. He identifies himself as the owner of the earth, of the wealth of the earth. On a third note, the scriptures declare that all things come from God and belong to God. All things. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10 to verse 12, we saw how David was speaking towards the end of his life. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine." All that is in the heavens and the earth is thine. All in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted. He went too fast. "Thou art exalted as head above all." Now verse 12, he said, "Both riches and honor come from you, come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." All things come of you. You reign over all. You have power, riches, and honor. If it is in the hands of your father, why will he not give it to you? If it is not in the hands of the devil, it's not in the hands of the enemy. I prophesy in this month of financial dominion, your God and my God will take you by surprise in the name of Jesus. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. If you are saying amen, shout a louder believers, amen. Say after me, say, "Father, what is in your hands for me, I receive today in Jesus' precious name." Somebody say a louder amen. Having said all of that, does God have any provision for his people? We are looking at God's provision for his people. God's financial dominion provision or plan for his people. That's the second level of what we are seeing. We're going to look at various scriptures that will confirm what God has in store for his people. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and in verse 18. He said, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swear unto thy fathers, as it is this day." He giveth thee power to get wealth. He empowers you to conquer wealth. He empowers his people to attract wealth. Another way to say it, he gives you dominion for wealth conquering, for wealth conquest. And so, there is a power, a dominion that causes you to walk in the realm of wealth that God gives. That is our scripture number one. Scripture number two, actually I should have taken this scripture number two as number one as number two. But Genesis chapter 9 verse 2, that's where we start from. Genesis 9, we'll go ahead. God was speaking. Now start from, look at verse 1 and 2. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. They are in your hands. Everything on earth. Now look at verse 3. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the great I have given you all things. Somebody say all things. All things, everything that is necessary for life and godliness, I put in your hands. Everything that is requisite for life and godliness, I put in your hands. That is our scripture number two. Scripture number three will take us into Psalm 35, verse 27. Very, very exciting and interesting scripture. Confirms our financial dominion. God's financial dominion plan and provision for his people. He said, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Somebody shout for joy. Anybody ready to shout for joy? Give the Lord a shout for joy. Let the Lord be magnified that has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Let the Lord be magnified that has pleasure in the financial dominion of his people. Let the Lord be magnified that it is interested in establishing resources for his people. Somebody say aloud, amen. That was our scripture number three. Let's take two more scriptures and then we are done. 3 John verse 2, where we read already, is in the scripture. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I wish that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. Somebody say amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody shout the loud most amen. I declare supernatural supplies your portion in Jesus' name. Final scripture for this morning, for this service, is Revelation chapter 5 and in verse 12. Revelation chapter 5 and in verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Riches together with blessing was part of the redemption package. One of the things that Jesus was slain for, apart from the salvation of our sins, apart from deliverance from sicknesses and affliction, apart from rescuing our soul from damnation in hell, he was slain to receive for us power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and the blessing. Most of us receive the salvation. We receive the healing and forgot about the other thing that he received. How many of you are saying today, I'm going to receive everything that Jesus died for? Somebody say, I'm going to receive everything. Somebody say louder, amen. Somebody shout the loud, must say amen. So it is possible to be extremely holy and explosively wealthy. It is possible to have unusual financial prosperity, spiritual authority, and financial audacity. You are not a pauper financially. Everywhere you come, your character went before you, and yet your wealth is together. Am I communicating at all? earlier on in the body of Christ, we left the things of resources. It was almost like it was a sin to talk about money. And so the brethren remained paupers, while the children of this world mocked at the church. You are preaching to your uncle and still begging him for money. Am I communicating? But it's changing. It has changed grossly. It has changed grossly. Somebody say a louder amen. So if Jesus was slain for our righteousness, and he was also slain for riches and slain for the blessing, then we cannot take one and leave the other. I don't know about you, but I've made up my mind that I will maximize my life in God. Everything that God has to offer, I will get it in my lifetime. I don't know about you. How many of you are getting everything? How many of you want to just get some and leave others? How many of you are getting everything that God has in store for you? Leave your hands and say, I receive everything that belongs to me in God. I receive them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we are going to get generational role models in terms of character. And we are also going to get generational frontliners in terms of the command of resources, the command of wealth. The Abraham generation of people, the Isaac, the Jacob, the Job generation, who stood out as the most outstanding personalities in their generations. We are getting them out of the church in this season. You believe that? Say loud amen. Now, what is God's purpose for financial dominion for his people? Are we trying to have things so that we can oppress people with it the way the worldly people do? Are we trying to have things so that things can have us? Are we trying to have things for materialistic purposes? No. What is God's purpose for the financial dominion of his people? Number one, to reveal his goodness to his people. God wants us to walk in financial sufficiency, financial dominion, financial authority, to reveal his goodness to his people. God, he says, is good, and scripture makes it clear in Psalm 27 and in verse 13. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In Psalm 84 and in verse 11, the Bible said, the Lord God is sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing. If it is considered good, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold. Is a house a good thing? Absolutely. Is a good car a good thing? Between a good car that you drive, that takes you to your destination without breaking down on the road, and then the other one, the motor that drives you all the time to the mechanic, which one is better? Do you understand what I'm talking about? I mean, whatever is good is good. Do you understand what I'm saying? No good thing will he withhold. No good thing will he withhold. No good thing will he withhold. There are people who don't need to think twice before they travel anywhere they want to go in the world. They don't need to think twice, because the means of travel is easy for them, and they have the resources to move at any time. But there are those who have to calculate. Do you understand what I'm talking about? No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Our challenge is that some Christians and church people decided to leave all the good things for the people that are of the enemy of God. Do you understand? They leave all the good things. Let them have all the good things of this life.
When we get to heaven, we'll have our own good things. Who said so? He said, heaven and earth belongs to me. We are not to pass through hell to end in heaven. We are... That's not what the Bible said. It said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth now as it is in heaven. I need to experience some heaven here before I ultimately arrive in the heaven at the end. Is God speaking to somebody here? I declare today, every hellish negativity that is around your life, I declare, I command them deleted in the name of Jesus. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat. No good thing will he withhold. We're going to crusade in Calabar today. From Calabar to Oka. Our crusade man who traveled from Oka to Calabar just for monitoring, did almost 11 hours on the road. Right? By virtue of badness of road and terribleness of that, it could be done easier. No straight flight. Maybe if we had known, if I knew ahead of time, he could have flown back to Abuja and then flown to Calabar instead of 11 hours wastage of life. Time, the waste of time is the waste of life. Because time is the stuff of life. Do you understand what I'm saying now? There is an easy way it can be. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I didn't know ahead of time. Couldn't have done such 11 hours trip. Instead of how many hours by good road or less than 1 hour by flight. Or at the most an hour by flight. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then after we finish from Oka, we are going to Maiduguri. Some of the people who are going ahead, I said, well, how do they do it? Because from Oka to Maiduguri, you can't find a flight. How do you do it? You come back to Abuja. I said, okay, let's look at it and see what can be organized for that. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You don't talk like that with empty hand. Do you understand? And this is not luxury now. This is necessity. This is essential. So we're not talking luxury at all now. Hallelujah. So to show his goodness, the goodness of this life must not be left for those we consider the enemies of God and his people. We are going to enjoy heaven, but we'll start from the earth. Your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Now, if you look again, in Psalm 103 and in verse 5, it said, thou satisfiest my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. So we have a good God. They persecuted our robots. You can see how far the church has come. Our robots say God is a good God. And a miracle is coming your way. You will do good things in your life. It became a challenge. Why should you say God is a good God? I'm talking of 50 something years ago. The church was trained against anything good. Suffer to go to heaven. The goodness of God was annoying. The people of God shouldn't think in terms of goodness. They shouldn't even be trained to experience anything good. That devil is a liar. That is what is irritating the church, the world. I told you when we were in Area 1 for 20 something years, no fly flew until this thing came up. How did the money come? Where did they get such money? What is happening? And this and that and that.
And all the devils inside demonic agents rose up. Hallelujah. But the devil should get ready for more heart attack from your life. The devil should get ready for more hypertension. The devil should get ready for stroke. Hey! If there is somebody that is about to run the devil back to hell, stand on your feet with a shout of praise. Look at your neighbor and say, my God is a good God. And in my lifetime, I shall experience the goodness of God. Say it again. Say, my God is a good God. And in my lifetime, I must experience the goodness of God in every area. Give the Lord a praise and take your seat to reveal the goodness of God to his people. Number two, why would God want us to walk in financial dominion? Number two, it is to cause his people to worship and serve him without the distraction of lack. To worship and serve God without the distraction of lack. Lack, scarcity, shortage, they are distractions. In Joel chapter 2 and in verse 26 and in verse 27, he said, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. Once that has happened to you, you shall praise the name of the Lord your God. It becomes easy for you to praise. It becomes easy for you to your relationship with God, to praise that God that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. In Mark chapter 12 and in verse 29, Mark chapter 12 and in verse 29, he said, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is this, 29 and 30. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. When your mind is taken off by financial worries, you can't serve the Lord with all your mind. Am I communicating? When your mind is divided, when your heart is divided, it is time for children to go to school, no money. House rent is on you. You woke up in the morning, your motor refused to start. Your motor refused to start on Sunday morning. Or two tires at once went flat. You know when two tires go flat at once, it's not by accident. It shows you the state of the tires. Are you following what I'm saying here? Just distracted completely. There are those who are so distracted now with continuous borrowing and begging. I can tell you the number of phone calls and text messages we receive. Somebody said they are about to embarrass them, about to publish their name, about to do this. They are thinking of suicide. And this online borrowing, online borrowing, online borrowing. That's not how to live. Somebody said, but supposing you get money and the money turn you back from God. That person was not a serious human being at all. The person who gets money and the money turns him away from God is not a serious human being. In fact, the money actually came to prove his heart. The money came to prove the stuff of person he is. If you know what you are doing with your life, billions will actually make you serve God more. If you know what you are doing with your life. If you know what you are doing with your life, if you know where you are heading for in life, the billions came, wow,
so I can now build more churches. Wow. So I can now send children to school. Wow. So I can build institutions that can employ a lot of people and wipe out unemployment. Wow. It will make you slap the devil upside the head. I am talking from a practitioner's point of view. I served God from the days where tithing was 3 naira. My university in those days, I paid tithe of 3 naira out of 30 naira pocket money. My higher institution. I served God from those days. I served God from the days where you had one vehicle to drive. I served God from those days. And I served God, and I'm serving God till this day. When somebody said, I have given you a house, and I have not gone to see the house. And I don't have the time because my schedule hasn't permitted me. Different, not one, right? And it has not dropped spirituality. I have served God to the point where somebody said, the check I gave you, you have not presented it yet. And the check is not 1 million, it's not 2, it's not 3, it's not 4. The other day I said to the one person, I said, I don't know where the check is. He said he would look for the check. Do you understand what I'm saying? It has only driven you deeper. It just drove you further, more intense, more resources to chase more devils back to hell. Please, I'd like you to make up your mind. What shall it profit a man? You gain the whole world and lose your soul. Tiny money, you sack your wife. She's now too outdated for your realm. Most people are normal until money enter their hand. That is why some people, God will never, He will just allow them to remain where they are so that they can go to heaven with normal head. He's not coming back home again. He's staying out late. Small money entered his hand. Children can't see him. Wife can't see him. That's not what we're talking about. We are talking about you have a mission and a vision. You have a passion for God. You know what you are doing with your life. He releases resources into your hand to help to maintain that focus and to help to maintain that vision. And to help to maintain that passion. And to deliver you from the distractions of scarcity. So that money matter is not one of your worries. Somebody say loud amen. And so God is doing that for his people. To ensure that we are completely delivered from to serving without distraction. The distraction of lack. That was number two. Number three, because of time, to empower his people to be a blessing to the needy and less privileged. Empowering his people to be a blessing to the needy and less privileged. God is a good God, and he wants us to spread that goodness to our generation. He wants us to spread that goodness to our world. He wants the people of the world to experience his niceness as they encounter, especially the needy and the less privileged. In Job chapter 29, verse 11, all the way to verse 13, Job 29, he said, when the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Because I delivered the poor that cried. Why was Job so blessed? I delivered the poor that cried. God knew he would deliver the poor and the fatherless and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. Keep going. I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. That was Job. I was eyes to the blind and feet was I to the lame, to the less privileged. Now look at Psalm 72. I was a father to the poor. Now look at Psalm 72, verse 10 to verse 14. Concerning Solomon, that was a psalm for Solomon. He said, the kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy. They are bringing him gifts and bringing him gold. Because he shall deliver the needy when he cried. The poor also, and him that hath now. Back up again. Let's read it from verse 10. Verse 10. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles, they shall bring presents. This is the flow of gold coming to Solomon. The kings of Sheba and Seba, you remember the queen of Sheba, they all came with their gifts. Verse 11. Now keep going now. With the resources, all kings shall fall down before him. Nations shall serve him. Why? For he shall deliver the needy. God wants to empower you, baptize you with resources to deliver the needy that cry, the poor also, him that has no helper, to spare the poor and the needy, and to save the needy soul, to save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his side. Somebody say amen. Many people, when people look at you. Now, the testimony of that young girl preached a portion of this message. Children came to your house for house fellowship, home sale. You pick one of the children and began to invest in her like your child. Pulled her out of the low level school she was in. And said, I want to give this child the quality of education of my children. Does that happen out of poverty? You don't have to eat. Will you donate to teacher? You know, in the village in those days, in the ancient time when the missionaries came, they used to donate yam and egg and all these things and give to the father, give to the local teacher. And when they come to somebody, say, where is your own donation? You say, I don't have to eat. Should I donate? Will I donate to teacher? Do you understand what I'm talking about? You see, many, many times, poverty frustrates good intentions. You know what to do, but you are deprived by poverty. It frustrates good intentions. You are looked upon like a wicked person. You are not wicked. It is half that you don't have. You are laughing so. Is half that you don't have. If you had, you would have given. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So many children now. When my children were in primary school, when they were going to the primary schools, to the school, they entered the bus or the car, the vehicle, with the children of the cook and the children of the driver, all going to the same school, quality of school that our children were going. All school fees being paid by one person. Not no deduction from the salary. This is a separate matter. Our children finished the primary school, went to secondary school, they went with them to the same secondary school. Our children graduated. Some of their children are still in the secondary schools, still being paid. Some of them, they are no longer staff with us. But we couldn't start and not finish it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Abraham trained people's children. Abraham trained people's children. This is what God wants. He wants this world to be so filled with his laws that he empowers you, and that empowerment you are using it to touch people's life and show people what the love of God is all about. We have people on our scholarships we don't know. I went to preach in Makurdi some time back. Two girls came to me. My wife brought them to me. You said, you know them? I said, I don't know them. You said, you are the one paying their school fees. I said, really? One was reading English. Both were reading engineering. They all graduated now. One is working in the bank here in Abuja. Do you understand what I'm talking about? God, so it is not the kind of money you carry and be oppressing everybody. That's what we're talking about. And be bragging and showing that you are this, I'm up and you are down. That's money misroad. That's not what we're talking about. We are talking about putting smiles on the faces of of people in your generation, because God favored you with resources. Somebody, I announce to you today, in a short while to come, the number of people God is using you to touch with money, you will not be able to know their number. There will be so many that your life is touching with scholarships, with widows, with orphans, being affected and being impacted. You believe it? Shout the loudest. Amen. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan? 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17. The Bible said, "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. For what purpose? That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate." How many of us remember the story of the Good Samaritan? Man was coming from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves. They left him half dead. Finished dealing with him, left him half dead. A Levi was coming that way. He saw the man on the ground. He looked away. A priest was coming that way. He saw the man on the ground. He passed the other side. A good Samaritan was coming that way. A good Samaritan was coming that way as he journeyed. And when he came, he saw him. He had compassion on him. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own beast. Can you see the difference between this man and the other people? First, the other people lacked compassion. Second, they were too conscious, maybe if they go near him, they may implicate them, that they were the ones who beat the man the way it is today. Thirdly, there may be bankruptcy of chronic pocketitis, povertitis. The pocket, because the Bible said this other one came down from his beast. The other ones were, as he walked that way, this other third guy had oil, he had wine, he had treasure in his possession. He even took him to an inn and paid the innkeeper. And he said, if there's any balance when I return, I will pay. The other guys couldn't talk like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? At times, poverty hardens people. You can't help and you can't care. God himself, no, I don't have. Do you understand what I'm talking about? This is very, very important. But I announce to somebody here today, massive supernatural supply is coming your way. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. Hallelujah. What is the purpose? And now you are seeing the purpose that is beyond just I have money, I bought a new car. It's beyond, far beyond that now. Number four, to empower his people. Just a moment. To empower his people unto the building of his sanctuaries. The building of his sanctuaries is a major purpose. The building of his sanctuaries is a major purpose. Exodus 25 verse 1 to 3. Look at the instruction God was giving. And the Lord spake unto Moses saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take of them. Gold and silver and brass. Now he continued mentioning it. Now move to verse 8. Take this offering. And what will you do with the offering? Verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary. The gold that they have, the silver that they have, and all that I have given them. You remember God gave them money first. God spoiled Egypt. They emptied Egypt before they came out. And now God is saying, that money I gave them, let them bring the money for the building of my sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. And they brought the money until it was too much. Look at Exodus 36, verse 5 to 7. Exodus 36, verse 5 to 7. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. Verse 7. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Haba. The people gave until it was too much. That has happened with our Father and the Lord. Papa, we hear the building of the ark that is ongoing. Over 100,000 stadium tier ark that is going on. He announced one some time back. He said that any giving you want to give anymore towards that project, if it is for that project, there is no need to give towards it anymore, because the money for it, to build it completely, is on ground. Any other thing you want to give, maybe through rural church planting or any other thing, you can give towards it. But if it is for this one, the building, the roof, the seats, the sound, the LED, the air conditioning, all is ready, waiting for the right time to install them. Somebody say REM. That is the kind of thing that want to kill the devil. And that is the family lineage you are on. And who told you can be stranded? Who told you can be stranded? What is the devil that told you you can die of empty handedness? Hey! Lift your hands and say, I cannot be stranded. I shall not be stranded. I can never be stranded. Shout the loudest. Amen. Give the Lord the praise as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. That's God, to empower his people. David said in Psalm 122 verse 9, he said, for the sake of the house of the Lord my God, I will seek prosperity. For the sake of the house that seek thy good. A translation rendered it, seek prosperity. For the sake of the house of the Lord. And he confirmed that is what he meant in Psalm 132 verse 1 to verse 5. Psalm 132, he said, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. How he swore unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, saying, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes, or slumber to my eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, a habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. I'm getting money to build the house. Look at Isaiah chapter 45, verse 1 to 3. This is very, very detailed. Isaiah chapter 45. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaf gates. And the gates shall not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give unto you the treasures of darkness, hidden riches or secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. When I give you this treasure, what will you do? Verse 13. What will you do with it? 45:13. He will build. I have raised him up in righteousness. I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city. A time will come where people will not only build individual churches, but they build a church. They build a pastoral. They build a the school. They build the hospital. They just, every single thing that will be needed in one spot. He shall build my city. The children's church. The toilet facilities. He built everything. And shall let go my captives. Not for prize, nor for reward, saith the Lord of hosts. I want to empower you, give you the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of the secret places, to build my city. Who, how many kingdom builders are here this morning? If you are among, shout the Lord and say amen. If you are among, shout the Lord and say amen. If you are among, shout the Lord and say amen. If you are among, shout the Lord and say amen. One man asked us to go and dedicate one of the buildings he built for Dunamis Church in a particular location. And he said, after he encountered us 2022, thereabout, he had been following like online or something, but encountered 2025. He said, from the moment he encountered us, under 2 years, that the highest he had touched cash was 100 million in Naira. That was his realm. Under 2 years, his realm shifted to billions, both assets and liquid. That is, he can call up a billion cash, minimum. And then he had assets, sheep, vessels, not one. He had about 5 under his control. I asked him for the price of one of them. He said there was a particular one that was up to $6 million. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? And he's on the assignment of more building. This is what God wants. I want you to come to the point where you are thinking in terms of what to do for the kingdom per year. What to do for the kingdom in your lifetime. Not I achieved this or I achieved that for earthly purposes. But what mark will I make as far as building the kingdom is concerned in my lifetime? What mark will I make before this year is out? What mark will I make before the next 10 years is out? Before my next landmark birthday, like 10th birthday, 30th birthday, 40th birthday, 50th birthday, 60th birthday, 70th birthday, 80th birthday, 90th birthday, 100th birthday, before the next landmark birthday, I am trusting to do this and that. This is the kind of people God is looking for. And he will empower you. And the world will be watching. Seek first the kingdom of God means, before you make your personal plans, make kingdom plans. Did you hear what I just said? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added, means before you make your personal plans, I want to achieve this, I want to do this or do that. Make kingdom plans. Possess kingdom vision. Decide what you will do. If you, God should bless you to a certain degree, what will you do? Let the kingdom be first on the list and see what God will do with you. Time is gone. Finally, God empowers his people to serve as voices for the kingdom in the earth. Voices. Where there is a need for voices to rise up for the kingdom. People with financial power and stature. People of power and stature. In Ecclesiastes 9:16, the Bible said, the poor man's voice is not heard, and his wisdom is despised. The voice of a poor church cannot be heard. The voice of a poor Christian cannot be heard. The voice of a poor believer is hardly heard. Even in community, in family meetings, in your home, your voice is heard to the extent of the means you have. There is a connection between means and voice. Whether we like it or not, it is real. So real that the Bible said it. The poor man's voice is not heard, and his wisdom is despised. That was how the voice of Joseph of Arimathea was heard when Jesus died. In Matthew chapter 27 and in verse 57 to 58, when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. Back up to verse 57. When the evening was come, there came a poor man of Arimathea. Who was that? Rich man. So discipleship is not license for wretchedness. There are rich disciples. A rich man of Arimathea, who named Joseph, who himself was Jesus' disciple. At this time that he was going to Pilate, Peter was hiding. Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. He was hiding, he went a fishing. Thomas has doubted. Judas has sold Jesus and killed himself. All the disciples ran into the hiding for fear that they may be arrested and crucified likewise. This one came with full chest. I said, Pilate, see me. The man you just killed is my master. I'm one of those who followed him. In case you are looking for his followers to persecute. See me, persecute me, let me see. He said, but for your information, I need the body of the man right now. I want to bury him in my private tomb. Pilate said, Joe, what happened? I didn't know of this all this while. You didn't tell me from the beginning. I didn't know you were close to the man. Oh, so sorry, Joe. So sorry. Sorry for your loss. Because authority relates with authority. Power knows power. Influence respects influence. Hey! The Bible says he commanded. There are people who want to stand for the church at times that will cause governments to be under pressure to do the right thing. That is what financial power influence does. Am I communicating at all? There are people whose size is almost bigger than the head of a particular government. That was the kind of person that Joseph of Arimathea was. Not going about apologizing and begging people. I came to beg on behalf of our church. Beg why? No, we are not here to beg. It is our right and we want to demand it. We want to demand it. This is what must be done. That is why you cannot be... How many of you are part of... You need a voice in your generation. You need a voice in your generation. Stand up on your feet. You need a voice in your generation. 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 I've preached and preached and preached until my time is almost off. You need a voice. Beloved, from all that I have said now, I didn't mention anything about it. You need money so that you can brag for everybody. so that you can oppress everybody, so that people can think you have arrived. That's not what we are talking about. It's kingdom purpose. And if there are things you must go away with, all right, take your seat. Let me give you 5 conclusions. Number one, God is the owner and possessor of the earth and its resources. That's, let's run with this. God is the owner and the possessor of the heavens and the earth. Let's run with that. Number two, God has made provision for the financial dominion of his people. Say that again. First, God is the owner and the possessor of the heavens and the earth. Secondly, God has made provision for the financial dominion of his people. We're going to run with that. Number three, financial dominion is not just for show. It is for kingdom purposes. That we have financial dominion is not just to make a show. It is for kingdom purposes. God is the owner and possessor of the heavens and the earth. God has made provision for the financial dominion of his people. Financial dominion is not just for show. It is for kingdom purposes. And this is the fourth one, is what we are going to be going forward with. When we follow God's principles, we access his provisions. All that is left for you and me now is, what are the steps? What are the principles? What do I need to do to step into this financial dominion? When we follow God's principles, we can arrive, we can access his provisions for us. Deuteronomy 28:1-2. Hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, which, and it shall come to pass that all these blessings shall follow you. If we follow God's principles, we can access his provision. All that, do you know your assignment this month is to pay attention. Now, from the midweek service that I'll be preaching, we are stepping into the principles. And don't be away from midweek service, because anywhere we are in the world per time, the world is the same. Climate is the same. We shall be looking at these principles. By the time we come on Sunday, it will explode. But let me say something. The things you will be learning this month is beyond givings and offerings. That will be foundational. There are other things you will learn. Financial management principles. Because the people most times, people say, I've given my offerings, I've given my tithes. But things haven't changed. Because plus one minus one is zero. You are functioning in ways that make it impossible to be rich. It doesn't matter what you give, no result. Because God is not a waster. We'll look at all of that in a moment. Don't miss a single service. Stand up on your feet. Lift up your two hands and give the Lord the praise. Give the Lord the praise. Give the Lord the honor. Give the Lord the adoration. Give the Lord the worship. Lift up your hands. Lift up your voice. Father, we worship you. Father, we honor you. Father, we adore you. Father, we magnify you. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Adonai. Thank you, Elion. Lift your hands and say after me, say, Father. Say, Clara, say, Father. Thank you for your word.
Thank you for your word.
To me today.
To me today.
Louder, say, Father.
Father.
I thank you.
I thank
for your word.
For your word.
To me today.
To me today.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For your plan.
For your plan.
Financial plan.
Financial plan.
For my life.
For my life.
Be glorified, Lord.
Be glorified,
in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Be glorified, Lord.
Be glorified,
in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I receive the grace.
I receive the grace.
To run.
To run.
With your word.
With your word.
I receive the grace.
I receive the grace.
To fulfill.
To fulfill.
Your word.
Your word.
I receive the grace.
I receive the grace.
To align
my life
with your word.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Go ahead, open your mouth and pray.
Yes.
Jesus' precious name. Very, very shortly, I will pray for God to empower us with the power to be quelled, according to Deuteronomy 8:18. But this impartation and power is coming upon us ahead of the instructions of the month. But one of the things that make God to bless people is the assignment of soul winning. In Luke 22, verse 35, he said, when I sent you, that is to win souls, without pause and without scrip, lacked he anything, and he said nothing. When you go out for him, he pays your bills. Lacked he anything, they said nothing. And for those of us who are on the squad of 1,000 souls winning, don't let anything slow you down in that assignment. We're going to pray. Part of soul winning is evangelistic praying. We're going to pray in a few minutes. We have crusades ahead of us and generally. And you're going to pray with all the passion you possess as we trust the Lord to help us. Lift up your hands and give him the praise. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Father, thank you.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Psalm 110 and verse 3. Let's read together. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. The beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast to do of the youth. Somebody say, Father.
Father.
Somebody say, Father.
Father.
We ask that you baptize every member of the evangelism father, as well as the church form, with guidelines, zeal, passion, enthusiasm, and willingness unto soul winning in this season. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, you can say, Father, we ask that you baptize every member of the evangelism father, as well as the church form, with highest zeal, passion, enthusiasm, and willingness of soul winning in this season. Lord, in the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we'll be reading 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 3 and 4. It says, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I'd like you to pray this prayer with me and say, Father,
we break
the grip of the God
of this world
on the heart,
mind, and eyes
of the souls in our hallowed seats to receive the glorious gospel that we present unto their salvation. Lord, in the name of Jesus, lift up your voice and pray.
In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Luke chapter 5, verse 4 through 5. Let's read together. Now, when he had left speaking,
he said unto them,
launch us and let down your nets for a draught of wine. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will lay down the net. Hallelujah. Lift your voice and praise. Father, we ask that you will praise upon our evangelistic effort in this season. Empower our tools unto a harvest of multitude of souls. In the name of Jesus, lift your voice and pray. Father, we ask that you breathe upon our evangelistic effort in this season. Empower our soul unto a harvest of multitude of souls.
In the name of Jesus, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in bed again, until Christ is born in you. Lift your voice and say, Father, we ask for both the grace and wisdom needed for successful discipleship and establishment of every soul won, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lift your voice and pray, Lord, we make demand for grace and wisdom needed for successful discipleship and establishment of every soul won.
Joel chapter 2 verse 3, one to go. If I had a fire before them, and behind them a flame burning, the land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yeah, and nothing shall escape them. Say, Father, we ask that your fire precede us into Cross River, Anambra, and Borno State in this coming week's healing and deliverance crusade. We ask that no affliction escapes the unction, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lift up your voices and pray.
We ask that your fire proceed us into Christ the Vine, Abra, and Bernal State. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let's talk to Koloba. In the name of Jesus Christ,
amen.
Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Luke 10, 19, let's read together. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Lift up your voice and pray. Say, Father,
we take authority
over the territorial principalities of Cross River,
Anambra,
and Borno State. This week,
we ask
that the bar
to
your Lordship
in
this week, healing and deliverance
will say,
oh Lord,
in the name of Jesus,
lift up your voice and pray. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The Lord has heard and answered us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lift up your hands everywhere you are. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Thank you, Master. Everywhere you are this morning, in need of surrender to Jesus, needing forgiveness for your sins, I think we should get this out of the way. You want Jesus to be Lord over your life. You want today to mark a new day for you. Please, those coming in for the second service can hold on. So the young just come in now and then go almost immediately as we close. You are saying, Pastor, pray for me. I need Jesus in my life. I need forgiveness for my sins. I want today to mark a new day for me. Wherever you are, pray the prayer with me and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, and no turning back. Forward ever, backward never. The grace to live for you, Lord, I receive it. And thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.